What's up out there in YouTube and podcast land? Time for Clover Tech Podcast Studio. Hopefully everybody is doing good on a Thursday, October 29th, I think it is, of 2020. So one more month gone, and I say good riddance, it being 2020. For those that are listening in replay, wherever that might be, most likely in audio podcast form, welcome. Remember that, there's always the comments below. Wherever you're at, you can do that. So be sure to chime in. If you've got questions, comments, concerns, that sort of thing. YouTube, I'm sure, is hard at work trying to send out some notifications. And hopefully we'll have some folks in here too. Hashtag Talk Nerdy here in a little bit. Going to be talking about watch time. We're going to be talking about retention. We're going to be talking about how to get those viewers to engage with that video, stay on that video longer, hopefully go to other videos on the channel, kind of stay on your channel, all of that kind of thing, because that's what YouTube likes. And so YouTube rewards that by way of promotion through the algorithm, all this other stuff. We're going to talk about things we do to try to make that happen. We're obviously going to answer questions out there, not just about that, but anything of the tech nerd persuasion. We'll run it through the panel here and get all of their thoughts. Before we jump into the panel, get those guys in, want to mention, because I normally do, I do not have a link down below. Hopefully by the time we get into replay, I will have that, but I am going to drop a link out there in the chat, because there was a Creator Insider. I always talk about Creator Insider. It was a video that they put out here, not too terribly long ago, maybe a couple hours ago or so. So if you're out there, if you're a creator and you just want to know more about discovery, which is, you know, search, suggested, recommended, all that good kind of stuff, then hit that Creator Insider video up. You should be following that channel anyway, because there's some great information. It doesn't always pertain to us in the firearms world, but there is a lot of good information that does come through there. So be sure to check that one out. That's my plug for Creator Insider for tonight. So with that said, let's bring in all of the panel and hopefully get started with tonight's topic. Get it over and done and get the heck out on a Thursday. What do you say? The Rogue Banshee in the hizzy with us again this week. What's happening, bro?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. It's always great to have a Thursday night just kind of hanging out with you guys and talking content.
Mm-hmm. Always. We got Ghost Tactical.
What's up? Thanks for having me.
And it's almost your night of the year. Got a couple more days left on that.
A couple more days. This is definitely a fun time of year for me.
All right. Mr. 45 ACP in the house with us, too. What's happening, bud?
Yeah, good evening. Excited. Thanks for having me. Excited about this topic.
You bet. And, just so everybody knows, I mean, as we're going forward with this, and whether you're on the panel, whether you're out there in the chat, whatever, questions are welcome by all means, because I talk about this all the time. I have people that go, well, I'm just going to be in the chat. I'm not going to come on the panel because I don't really have anything to offer on this topic. And the thing is, you could have questions, even if you don't know the topic, you could have questions that provoke good conversation that we can all learn from. So don't shy away from that. We got Mr. Stanley Orchard in the house with us. It's been a while. How are you, Stan?
Man, I apologize for how long it has been. I love the stuff that you guys do, and I want to thank you so much for having me back again. I am super stoked about this conversation, because my personal opinion, this is the single number one most important topic you could be talking about if you were talking about YouTube and content creation in general.
I don't disagree entirely. I would say that you've got to get people on the video where you can keep them on the video. That's where click-through rate comes into play. And we've certainly talked about that with good thumbnails, good titles on episodes in the past. But once you get them there, yeah, absolutely. So great segue, and we'll kick this off. For those that that are unaware, there is a flow to YouTube. There is a recipe, not a recipe in the sense of you have to make videos a certain way, you have to have a certain production value, you have to put videos out on a certain schedule. Really no recipe on that. Everybody's going to have their own audiences. Their audiences are a little different. The way they consume that content going to be a little bit different. However, when we're talking about the AI and the algorithms and the robots and the computers that are out there that pick up on videos and they suggest videos and they put it on the homepage and they slide it in the recommended spot behind other videos and do all these other things, there's some really important metrics. As I just brought up, you got to get the click, plain and simple. Thumbnails and titles is how you do that. We've hit on that before, even designed some thumbnails on this back when it was called After Hours, of course. But look up some past episodes on the channel if you want to check that out. But what we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to jump into it, is once you get that click and you get them on your video, tips, strategies, tactics to keep them on the video. Now, most people seem to freak out when they go into their analytics and they look at the per video retention, because it's fairly normal to see a pretty good drop within the first few seconds. And so what I want to talk about is and then run it through the panel here. I want to talk about that first few seconds of your video and why it is that you get that drop. I don't think that drop is altogether abnormal. I think you've got a really steep drop than it might be. If it drops and it never comes back up, yeah, you may have a problem. But having that initial drop, I think happens because I think you get people that they see your thumbnail, they see your title, they click, and then You're presenting well, you're doing everything that you need to do as far as the video is concerned. What you're saying within the first few seconds matches with all of that, but they realize that that wasn't what they thought it was. It was a misinterpretation, a misunderstanding on their part, and then they bail. Could be ads, you know, could get turned off by ads or something like that. That certainly could happen too. But yeah, that's what I want to run through the panel here is, you know, when you see that first initial drop in retention, what are some of the initial thoughts that go through your head when you see that? Do you freak out? Do you start, like I do, deep diving into other analytics and trying to figure out why that is? Or do you just not worry about it, especially if the overall retention is high enough? Rogue, we'll start with you.
Well, when I was when my channel was younger, I used to freak out, totally freaked out about it. But also, I had a really long intro back then. You know, I learned to cut the intro back. Mm-hmm. But even then, I see the dive in my analytics. And I just learned to accept that that's just kind of something that happens. It's nowhere near as bad as it used to be. But I'm trying to work on new things with the logo reveal and stuff like that to try to make it a little more exciting.
Now, with your intro before, about how long was that intro?
Over a minute.
Really? It was that long?
It was painful. I a couple of months ago, I went through some of my top videos, mm-hmm, and actually went through and cut, because what I had is I had a disclaimer in there.
Right.
And that just kind of drug everything out. As I'm talking about the disclaimer, so I actually went out there and just kind of cut the disclaimers off, because you can edit old videos, right. And I just cut it off and it just goes right into the video, and I just throw a card up in the beginning of my video that points to my policies on my webpage, mm-hmm, for to cover my disclaimer. But yeah, it was painfully long,
right?
And all that stuff was going on before I even got to the content.
Gotcha. Ghost, let you jump here with the first few seconds of your video.
I honestly, I don't worry about it. I don't even look at that. It's for me, it's big picture. I don't have the patience nor the brain power to analyze every little analytical data that when they drop it off, it's honestly, I don't give it that much thought. And in the first few seconds, you know, I'm more worried about average view time, click rates, and stuff like that. That's kind of the analytics that I'll look at as far as that individual video goes. But when they jump, no, I'm not worried about that too much.
Gotcha. So you're just looking at basically the end results, what you're saying. As long as your retention is high enough, you're okay with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And my goal is 50% retention. You know, if I can get 50% on every video, then I'm happy with that.
Right. And I think that's a healthy perspective. I see way too many people that worry about that dip, and I don't care what channel you got or who it is or how big you are, you know, that dip is present on all channels. So it's a great point to not freak out about it too much. 45 ACP, going to let you jump in. Thoughts on just the first few seconds of the video and those drop-offs that you might see?
I don't worry a whole lot about it. You know, I'm more like big picture, like Ghost. I know some of them short ones are my dad, especially if he's on the video, because he's always clicking in there to see if anybody's made a comment so he can comment back. So. Mm-hmm. But no, now you're big picture. You know, I try to get, you know, about half retention. You know, I know there's going to be some shorts. I know there's going to be, you know, people who watch the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I try to keep my intro short. You know, I used to have a little longer intro, but you know, no more than, I think the one I have now is about 20 seconds or maybe 15 to 20 seconds, and that's it.
Right. Right. Stanley, going to bring you in. Your thoughts, first few seconds of a video.
First and foremost, it happens. We all got to deal with it. This is nothing. There's not a whole lot that you can do about it unless you have huge explosions at the beginning of your video. It's just going to happen. All part of the game. Let me see. I would say that I have a totally different perspective from Mr. Ghost Tactical. That having been said, his opinion is exactly where I want to end up. That is where everybody wants to end up. That's what you want to be at, is his mindset. Mm-hmm. I think early on, you need to do things to kind of improve some of those analytics in order to improve your video performance and, you know, everything else. But in the end, for mental health and for every other reason, his opinion is exactly where you need to be headed.
Right. And building off of that, before we get into some of the minutiae of, you know, the first few seconds and what we do individually, I know Ghost said that he shoots for his goal for retention is about 50% or so. We'll run this backwards through the room and start with you, Stanley. Where is your goal at this point with your per video retention?
I can tell you that my best videos, and we've been doing this for about 3 years now, and my best videos are all 40% plus, with the exception of one video, mm-hmm. which was a totally different circumstance. It ranks really high in search for a search term that, you know, it's a high volume search term, and I got a really good thumbnail. The video isn't as good, but the thumbnail is really good for a high volume search term. So that's something that I get a lot of clicks and a lot of views, but I don't have the retention. Other than that, every single top 10 video that I have is 40% plus, and my absolute best videos, regardless of how long that video is in the 50 to 60% range.
Okay. And so at what point, if you put out a video and you started seeing a lower number, because you're talking that 40, 50%, at what point, as far as percentage-wise lower, again, total retention on that specific video, at what point might you start looking at that video and going, okay, what did I do wrong here? In other words, where would be a bad percentage for you?
Well, I do YouTube. So after I post the video for 2 minutes, if I don't have a million views, I automatically freak out.
Right.
And this is natural. Sure. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, honestly, it depends, because if it's a 20-minute video,
good point.
I couldn't say. I couldn't even answer that, because on my channel, for whatever reason, and I think this is more common than what people think it is, mm-hmm. but my videos have a tendency of hitting after the 140-day mark, especially this time of year. People right. don't, I do fishing, and people don't search for fishing topics this time of year. I can put out an awesome freaking video right now, and I can get 75% retention on a 22-minute video, but nobody's searching for that. But come May, come June and July, I guarantee if I have a 22-minute video with 65% retention, I'm blowing through the roof. Right. I guarantee it. Period, bar none. It's going to happen.
Right. And there was a, you know, there was a reason that I mentioned this, just to caveat something here real quick. I've been saying per video retention, because there's a lot of guys out there that do live streams. They do some really long form stuff. And for me, I mean, I'm in that boat too. I mean, we go an hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes on this particular show. Monday runs a solid hour. Very seldom do I make produced content that runs over 12, 15 minutes, something like that. But occasionally we got the lawn chair pops. We got the other things that push the 30-minute mark. So those are going to skew when you look at your overall retention as far as analytics. Keep this in mind. You're better off looking at your per video because, as Stanley points out, it depends on the length of that video, right? And what you want to be focused absolutely on is relating. If it says, well, you've got 9-minute, you know, duration channel wide, well, that means absolutely squat when you've got a 5-minute video. You know you're not getting 100 and what would that be, 90% retention? So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I got the perfect example on that. I have a 20-second video that we put out that had a slight amount of virality to it. It popped in a weird country. It popped in Turkey, of all places, for a very short amount of time. But that 20-second video got, and to this day, averages 115% retention.
Right.
And short, it popped.
And short videos are going to do that. I've been playing around with YouTube Shorts, and I've noticed that as well. And it's because they're so freaking short that sometimes people watch them twice.
That's exactly right. That's what happens. But that doesn't mean, you know, 115% on a 20-second video, that's cool, but that's not going to make you a viral star.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
On a minute video, that's kind of different. And if we're talking about a 22-minute video, that is some for real, like PewDiePie kind of numbers.
Yeah.
You know, the unrealistic kind of numbers.
Yeah. Joe Rogan at the very least. Mm-hmm. 45 ACP, going to let you jump in here. When you're looking at your per video audience retention, do you have any goals that's like, okay, you know, above this, I'm fine, not going to worry about it. Got to go below this, I may start looking at things.
I tend to just kind of let them go for a while before I start really looking into why. You know, if I'm not getting any viewership, I might then start looking, okay, why? Or is it the subject matter? You know, maybe it's just kind of a niche thing I don't worry too much about it. I might, after, you know, 4 weeks or so, look at it and say, okay, why isn't this taking off as much as I thought it might?
Right. And that's a great point. A lot of people, Stanley brought this up earlier when he said that for the first 2 hours, it didn't work out for him. But, you know, I hear it all the time that, you know, the video will be a day old, you know, and sometimes, you know, I've had videos be a week old, 3 weeks old, 6 months old, you know, before they really do anything. And so people are really quick to go, well, this didn't work. And, you know, my thinking is, unless you've got a really hot, trendy niche or hot, trendy video that just pops for some reason, whether it's culture, whether it's a social issue, something in the news, whatever. Yeah, be patient. I think that's a good thing that you kind of alluded to there, 45 ACP. Ghost, going to bring you in. You said 50% is good for you. Now, as far as, are most of yours that way, or are some of them, is 50 like your average, I guess is what you're
saying? Yeah, I think my average is like 52.3. So I have some that are in the 60s. Right. A lot of my top lists are in the 60s because obviously they're wanting to see what the top lists are or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's some in the 40s. There's some lower than that. But I think my average is like 52.3. And I think that if I'm putting out anywhere from a 7 to 12-minute video, and I can keep them on for 4 to 6 minutes, I've done something pretty good. So I look at that, and I don't really look at my average view duration very often. Mm-hmm. I more look at the retention, because I just want to see on average, you know, how long people are. I can figure out, you know, if my channel average is 52.3, then it shouldn't matter whether I have a 3 minute or a 12 minute, you know, my average, I want them to be there for at least half of it. So that kind of tells me if my average is 52.3, then I want to get my main talking points in that first 50% of the video, not giving all the candy away, but at least getting the basic information. If it's a, especially if it's a review, if I'm going to get a review, then I want to give at least, you know, the vast majority of my findings, or at least my opinions, in that first half of the video, just so if they are going to leave, so be at least they've got the information they're looking for.
Right. And where do your, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Let me bring Rogue in. As far as you, as far as your overall retention, I mean, where do you like to be as far as percentage wise per video?
I'm shooting for 50%. Very few of my videos actually make it there. I'm actually looking at my analytics now. I'm getting better at my channel, I'm changing the content, I'm seeing my average view duration of those newer videos going up. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm hitting somewhere around the mid 40s. So I know I'm going in the right direction with where I want to go.
Right. Now, I don't disagree. I mean, everybody has said about 50%. And I don't disagree, somewhere around that 50% average. However, I do have a little different perspective with what I'm looking at. And again, this is for the most part on a per video basis, but I actually like to look at the graph. And I actually like to pay attention to like the last 10 or 15% of the video. In other words, if we're talking about a 3 minute video, what is that? That would be 500 seconds. So 50 seconds would be roughly 10%. That's math, and I hate math, but break out your calculator, do your own math. My point remains the same. I like to stay above, as long as I'm above 25, going into that last 25%, that is, going into that last 10% of the video, however long the video might be. And here's my thinking on that. What we're talking about tonight is watch time and retention. Now, we kind of started off with retention. But if I've got viewers that are sticking with me, 25% of the people that view that video are sticking with pretty much the entire video. Let's, you know, 90%+ of the video. Then what that means is I'm accumulating more watch time. And so if you're out there and you're thinking, well, okay, I've got to, you know, I want to get to that 1,000 subscriber mark, that 4,000 hours watch time, then you're concerned as well with watch time. It's not just the retention aspect. So look at things a little bit more closely in that sense, and where you might not be worried so much about getting that overall percentage up, just work on bringing that percentage there up to that, about that 90% mark of the video, just bringing that percentage up. And so what you're losing, people drop it off a little early, you're gaining back by that higher number that's staying through that video longer. So just a little different, I guess, different way of looking at it there. And so with that, I want to talk a little bit, shift gears just a little bit. We talked about the percentages we want. Stanley brought up a few. Everybody's brought up some good points on the panel. But I want to talk about the importance, because I think it's very important that, you know, you not be clickbaity. And also that you not lollygag. I see the lollygag a lot. Rogue brought it up earlier when he talked about the really long intro. I used to have, and I think everybody starts out with intros. And as I work through the panel, if you're out there in the chat, whatever it might be, just let me know your thoughts on that. But I think we all start out having to have that intro. and then we start going, well, is this really necessary? And then so we take that intro and then maybe we cut it down really short. Then maybe it's just a logo reveal. And then we start, okay, well, I'm going to set a hook at the first. We've talked about that. You know, where you come in, whether it's a little clip that's a highlight or whatever. For me, I've got to where I start straight into the video. And then my goal is I want to introduce myself as quickly as possible. Welcome to the channel. Here's my name. Here's what we're going to be doing today. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's why we're going to do it. Basically, I want to reaffirm right off the bat. I want to reaffirm that title and that thumbnail. Here's what you're going to get. And I don't want to repeat that through the rest of the video. I want to hit it. Bam. Go to a whatever mine is, a 6-7 second maybe logo reveal, and then right back into the content. Pick up and keep going. So thoughts on that? Have you morphed over the years from trying different methods at the first of your video, and when you did, which styles worked better for you, Broke?
Well, I'm actually in the process of changing. You know, I've been working on my script, and I'm actually in the process of changing my script and trying to work on my hook and all that stuff on the beginning. But really, what I've noticed is on my range videos, that's where I'm starting to get the retention a little better, because I'm standing, you know, I used to do the green screen, standing in front of it, doing the introduction. I had to do that in the wintertime. But in the summertime, I'm on the range. I've got, you know, the product in my hand. I introduce myself, introduce the video. And then it's like, you know, for a gun, I'm going up and I go to take that shot. And that's where I cut to logo reveal. And then right after logo reveal, it's the continuation. You know, that's the first shot right after the logo reveal. And that seems to be working for me right now. You know, trying to get out of that studio script type of thing and getting, you know, talking a little more natural to people in the environment that I'm working in.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. And the natural aspect is really important too. It needs a authentic feel, right? A natural feel.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ghost, with you, and of course I know this, but everybody else doesn't, but your progression through what you thought as far as at the first of the video, what you thought you needed maybe as opposed to what you're doing now and what worked for you.
I mean, I've done all sorts of things and I still do. I don't do one single thing on every video. I kind of look at the video, and if it's, you know, a political kind of a thing, it's going to be a different intro. If it's a, you know, a top video, it's going to be different. Most of the time though, if it's going to be a firearm review or something, then I always will start those videos out with like a coming up, and it's a short clip of me shooting that gun. And then I'll go into my logo reveal, and I've got, I don't know, 5 or 6 different logo reveals that I kind of mix up. I've got one that I use predominantly, but I'll have 5 or 6 that I'll mix up. They go anywhere from 4 to 6 seconds. I try to keep them around 5 seconds the most, and then I'll go into the introduction and all that. There are times when I'll kind of like do what you do. I'll give a little hook, say, hey, if you're thinking about this, stick around and blah, blah, blah. I'll do that every now and then. Or sometimes I'll just start out with the logo reveal. So, I mean, I depending on the video, honestly, is what I found. But I found for me, if it's a review video on, especially a firearm, if I can give them 5 or 6 seconds of me shooting that gun right off the bat, that's typically when they stick around for those a little bit longer, because they know they're going to see me shooting the gun. So
right.
That's what works for me.
Right. Now, James out there, thanks for the comment, James. He says, as a viewer, if the video is on point and no real big lulls in the content, The video flows quicker and it's more entertaining for the viewer. Editing is important to maintain the flow of the video. Great point. We're definitely going to get into that. We're starting out with the first of the video, but we're going to work our way through it. 45 ACP coming down to you. And as far as your progression while making, creating content and stuff like that, what you found as far as works and doesn't work at the first of your video.
Now what I'm doing now kind of works for me. It's about a 10-second intro. It's the logo, a quick disclaimer, and then I go right into the video. I'm kind of that old school. I know there used to be a little bit of lag there when people started videos, so I haven't got into the, you know, give them that quick hitter first and then the logo, but I'm looking into that. Mm-hmm. And I had a longer, much longer intro when I first started. You know, I thought I had to have music and all kinds of stuff going on, and I've shortened it up quite a bit.
I think we all do. I think we all think we have to have 30 seconds, 20, 30 seconds or something. It's weird. I look back on some of my old stuff and I cringe at some of the intros. Stanley, going to bring you in, get your thoughts too on, you know, just your progression as a creator, what you found that didn't work, what you found now works, that sort of thing.
Personally, I think this conversation right here is the crux of this entire, you know, topic. I think this is like the backbone. This is the cornerstone of the whole thing. For starters, you're familiar. Everybody's familiar with having that hook at the beginning. You know, you have that clip that shows what you're looking for in the video. I'm a firm believer in that, and I try to keep that to the 8 seconds that is prior to the main, you know, scene of whatever is happening in the video, the main event, the apex of the video. That I show the 8 seconds prior to that, give or take. And for 2 seconds prior to the end of that, I slap my name on top of it. And that's it. That's my intro. I don't like introductions. I think that people are way too OCD to sit through an introduction. I don't like them. And that kind of works well for me for that beginning drop off of views, is keeping to that kind of formula. It's worked well for me. But I will say one of the biggest things that I have done that made a really big difference, and it's really unfortunate, and I kind of wish something would change. I don't say goodbye. I don't say thank you. Literally, I do not say thank you in a video. I really try to cut that out. At the end, it sucks because everybody wants some kind of closure to what they do. They want some closure to the end of the video. They want there to be an end to the story and things like that. You want to say thank you. You want to say, you know, I appreciate you for having watched this whole thing. But the fact of the matter is, you want to cut out the end of that video. That drop off can mean all the difference in the world. If you end your video abruptly, and sadly, this is a very commonplace thing with YouTube creators nowadays, the successful ones, you cut off that thing. You cut off the end of the video. There is there's a 20-second time frame for end screens for YouTube creators. Those of you guys who create videos, and if you know the YouTube stuff behind the scenes, you have 20 seconds to put in an end screen at the end of your video. I don't do that. I will cut that thing down to like 4 seconds. I don't like doing that. And I definitely do not like making a video where I'm sitting there and being like, hey, this is the catch of the day. This is the thing that you have been waiting for this entire video. 20 minutes you've been waiting to see this fish that I caught. And I don't like ending it like that. It's abrupt. It sucks as a viewer. But, man, it keeps that retention up. And that's how you do it. That's how I've been told to do it. And sadly, that is what works. You know, if you just cut it off right there like that, 4 seconds of end screen on top of cutting everybody off right at the end of it. If you're looking for retention, if you're looking for numbers, I'm afraid that's how that works. That's what works.
I don't do that, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. And so we'll throw out this caveat to say, again, like I talked about at the beginning, and Ghost has talked about switching stuff up, trying new things, whatever. Everybody in their audience is going to be different. So what might work for one may not necessarily work for the other. And it also had this conversation privately, Ghost and I did with Gizzard out there the other night. It depends on what you're looking to achieve. So when we're talking about watch time and retention, we could throw a wrench into this really quickly with what Stanley just brought up and say that last 20 seconds or whatever, while that may hurt you on the retention for that video, that could afford you the opportunity to push traffic to another video as well. If you utilize that opportunity to go, you know, end screen, check out this video here that I did so-and-so, you're going to lose a little on that video potentially because they're going to click on it before you actually get all of that done and maybe go, but you're going to pick up potentially watch time on the next video. You've also potentially got the subscribe thing, but I don't see, and this is just me, I don't see a lot of subscription at the end of the video. I think if people are going to subscribe, they're going to subscribe somewhere within, I would say, the first half. I mean, whatever your retention rate is probably where they're going to subscribe. I don't know that people are going to get all the way to the end and go subscribe. Either you're going to like that video, you like that content within the first few minutes, or you're not. I watch things, and it depends on, too, since we're talking about subscribers here real quick, it depends, too, on whether your channel is search heavy or not. My channel is super search heavy, and I just know this because I'm that type of viewer. If you're out there, if you're listening, you may be this type of viewer, too, that when I search for something, I am far, far, far less likely to subscribe to that channel because I was just searching for whatever that was to find a video on it, to consume that information, get that knowledge, whatever, and move on. It wasn't something that was recommended to me, put up on my homepage, that type of stuff. I'm more likely to subscribe to, and it's sad because it's almost like YouTube knows me better than me. But to that point, we'll go back around the room. We talked about the beginning. Let's talk about the end right quick. How do you utilize your end? You've said that, you end it pretty quickly. Give us an example, Stanley, if you will, about how that works. You said you just cut it off, but I'm sure there's more of a method to it than just that, right?
I try to. Mm-hmm. I really, really try to, because I want there to be a natural end to the video, and there can be, but you need to cut out the CTAs, the call to action, for this to be the end of the video. You can't say thank you. You can't say, all right, that is what we were looking for. This video is now over, but wait, I want you to stay through for this next 20 seconds of end screens. You can't do that. You have to incorporate it naturally. Like I did this thing. Here is the thing that I told you that we were going to do. And while we were talking about this, also, if you enjoyed this, we'll check out that video that I've got showing right up over here, because there's a little bit more of this thing that you were looking for. And, if you really want a little bit more of that, hit the little subscribe thing down there. But while we're doing that, I'm going to spend 5 seconds showing you what this looks like when I put it on a plate. You know, it's really confined in that last 10, 15 seconds, in my opinion. I don't have a solid answer as to how to do that other than, just the progression we just went through.
Right. So let's run it back through with 45 ACP. And as far as the ending goes on your video, what's the progress you go through with that?
I've got an end tag, that goes through, says, thanks for watching. I usually put credits on there. And I do the 20 second thing to try to draw them over to other videos on the channel. I understand what you're saying by cutting it off quick. You're kind of playing that numbers game, and that's going to drive your percentages up because you don't have that dead time at the end of it, that's included in there. But yeah, I'm trying to drum up other videos. Sometimes I'll play around with those tags and change them around.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to jump in the middle before we go to Ghost here and say that when you're looking at branding, when you're looking at some of these other different elements, because again, we're all different. We all have different goals. We all have different audiences. So all of that does matter, and it factors in. And for me, I mean, ever since I think my very first video, if not, it's been thanks for hanging out, thanks for watching, and until next time, don't forget to chain fire freedom. And I've got to be able to work that in. I just got to, because that's like an end cap on my branding. But I do like the idea of ending as abruptly as possible. And as I'm sitting here thinking of what Stanley's talked about and thinking about my retention rates, especially within that last 10% of the video, I'm thinking, you know what? I might could do a better job at getting out of there a lot quicker. Ghost, I'm going to bring you in at the end of your videos, your thought process on that and some of the things you do.
I do basically the same thing on every video, and I have for probably about a year or so. I have a splash screen that I put up the last 10 seconds of the video, and basically says, thank you for watching. It has our website on there, and it has all of our social media stuff on the side. And then what I do is I don't stop the video. I just go a picture in picture with the last 10 seconds of the video, whatever that last bit that you information you want to get out, not subscribe and all that. That's on the splash screen. They can read that stuff. I want them to listen to the content, but I do a little picture in picture. And I reduce my video to about 50%, and it fits in a little, you know, a little pocket there on my splash screen, mm-hmm. to where they are. It's still the video. It's not me thanking them. It's not me doing all that. It's still the video, but they're able to see my other social media stuff. Make sure you check out our website, Meditary, blah, 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 blah. They can read that stuff while they're listening to the video. So I don't waste the time of, hey guys, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you go check us out on blah, blah, blah. That's on a splash screen, and I do a little picture in picture where it fits right there perfectly in that splash screen to where the video is still going, but yet they're getting all that information without me having to say it. And that's, I've been doing that for about a year, and I'll probably continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. Rogue, jump in here at the end of your videos, kind of your method on that.
It's something I'm changing around. I was actually was working on trying to steal how Ghost does his ending. But on mine, I have the recap and the ending and thank you for watching, blah, blah, and all that stuff. And then from there, I go into bloopers. And then from the bloopers, I go into the, hey, we got more content. And that's where I have on YouTube, you know, the best for the, you know, the video watcher. That's something that I want them to see. At the end, you know, do my end screen right in there as I'm talking about, we have more content.
Right. Let's kick it around. We talked about the beginning. We talked about the end. And James out there brought up a good point when he talks about, you know, making sure that, you know, your own point, there's no big old, you know, lulls in it and all that kind of stuff. It flows quickly and smooth and all of that. And I just want to talk about some of the different methods that you can utilize to make sure that your content runs smoothly. So a couple of elements, and we're going to start out with a Rogue and run it back through the panel here, but a couple of elements to consider with this is, you know, do you kind of map that out with bullet points, you know, a script, some kind of thing that kind of builds up as you go, kind of makes everything hinge on what's coming next, utilizing different transitions, utilizing different captions, graphics, on-screen elements, all of those different things. What do you use to kind of keep that video popping and fresh? And instead of just, we've all seen these videos, there's channels out there, actually big channels out there, that all they do is stand in from a camera and go, and that's it. That's all they do. How they get the viewers and the watch time and get everything else they get is beyond me, because we know that, like many of us here on the panel, out the chat, listen to this in podcast form, we're a little bit ADD, so, and definitely visual people. So we need something flipping up, you know, constantly. How do you keep that attention throughout the span of the video, Rogue?
It depends on the content that I'm doing. If I'm in my winter content, which is all indoor stuff where I'm working on maintenance of firearms and stuff like that, one of my key things that I kind of founded my channel on was still photography. So if I do a step, or if I say, you know, grab this ear, I will throw up a picture of what you're going to grab. you know, and then if it's step has multiple things, I throw up different pictures and then I go into the you know, the assembly of whatever's going on. And then when I'm done putting a part in, I'll give you another picture. So that way you have, you know, a couple of pictures, some video, and then the picture of the step afterwards and things like that. And that works really good, especially since that content is so dry because it is very methodical, step by step. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. This is going there. So it kind of grabs your attention. Plus, it's teaching you what's going on, because so many people just go, okay, grab these parts. And then you're looking at a pile of parts and you have no idea what those parts are. Mm-hmm. In the summer content, when I'm actually on the range, you know, I've been working on that a lot this year. It works a little, I'm working breaks in, because, you know, I'll do the range testing and things like that. I'm starting to work with downrange cameras, and putting that in picture in picture and stuff like that. Those are what I'm working on to try to build, you know, an audience where it's not just me standing there shooting a gun. I mean, that's cool, but what's happening downrange at the same time? So those are the things that I'm working on there to try to keep attention.
Right. Ghost, what about you throughout the content and keeping people kind of plugged in and anticipating the next scene?
I mean, I do a lot of stuff. No one wants to sit and just look at me talking to a camera. I mean, I think that's where a lot of people get probably the drop-off rate is if you're just sitting there and looking at a camera and just talking, I don't care how, you know, incredibly good your content is, your information is, it's boring. And people don't want to be bored. They want to see something going on. So I'll utilize pictures, but I just don't put pictures. I'll usually use in motion slideshows where the pictures, but the you know, it makes it look like it's moving. Mm-hmm. I'll use videos from the manufacturer. I'll use myself at the range. Very few times will you see me in front of a camera doing nothing for more, with nothing going on for more than maybe 20 or 30 seconds at the most. Mm-hmm. Just because I realize that no one wants to look at me. No one wants to sit there and be looking at a camera, talking to them. It's almost like you're preaching to them. At that point, they want to see. They're visual. People that are on YouTube are visual learners usually. If they wanted to read, they would be on another website, but they come to see videos and not just videos of someone just sitting there talking. So I utilize pictures and videos, all sorts of stuff. Like I said, you'll very rarely see me in front of the camera talking for more than 30 seconds at a time. That's just what I do.
I want to address something. Burnaby out there is saying that his notifications didn't work. Yeah. A few things. I talk about this all the time. First of all, if you don't regularly consume content from the people you're subscribed to, yeah, YouTube is not likely to send you notifications for that channel. So that's number one. And I get it. I'm subscribed to like 500 channels. I obviously don't watch them all. Second thing is, if you notice that happening too much, turn the bell notifications off, unsubscribe, subscribe again, turn the bell notifications on again, because there is a bug. It's been around for a while on YouTube. I'm glad I got the chance to talk about this, so thanks, Sanchez, that your notifications can go stale. So give that latter part a try if you're somebody, and I see him out there in the chat pretty regular. Not so much in the comments of my videos. So that might be something too, man. Get down in those comments on some of my other stuff. But yeah, try unsubscribing, resubscribing, and then turning those notifications back on. Sometimes that helps. Who are we up to? We're up to 45 ACP. And the meat of your video, your content, and keeping people engaged. That's what we were talking about.
I'm starting to do some different things that I hadn't been doing before. Since I've been on this panel and talking with you guys, I started kind of paying attention to how am I using YouTube and how is that going to relate to my viewers. I used to go out and shoot. I'd take, you know, do 10 rounds of ammo and, you know, just showing the gun working. As I'm doing that now, I'm starting to add into commentary on top of that, you know, maybe getting out some of the information I want to get out so I can shorten the video a little bit so it's not so long, and get the information out that I want to get out. I use a lot of YouTube at work, just listening to it. And I just noticed this week that they have allowed you now that you can turn your screen off on your phone and listen to YouTube videos.
Nice.
So that's something we might want to think about in the future, you know, because there's a lot of people who will just listen to, and that's probably how those people that are just talking heads in front of the camera are getting the views. They're people aren't watching them. They're just listening to them in their car or whatever. But you know, those are just some of the things I've started to do, just trying to see if I can't get the video shorter, try to get the information and some of the dead time in the video so the video flows better.
Stuff. Stanley, coming to you with the meat and potatoes of your video, what's some of the tricks, tips, tactics you use to keep people going, keep that content moving forward?
The beginning and the end, more specifically the end, I think are far more important things to focus on, at least early on. You nail that and raising the bar in the middle is a lot easier than cutting, you know, trimming the bean in the end. That having been said, there's a lot of things you can do in the middle. I trim my clips every time I say, I cut those ums out. And it gets difficult when you're doing that for 20 minutes, cutting out every single time I said, and it really gets difficult when you're filming and you are trying to say something and you have an, that you have to give a second to give yourself that edit point. That kind of, it gets kind of rough, but that's important things. That's like next level stuff, is cutting out those little waste of space times. I think that's a big one. Mr. Perilin here, I wanted to address this. He's in the chat and he says, I hope it isn't irrelevant. When you film, you might redo a part a couple times. How do you remember which take was the best scene? I think that's a really, really valid point, because I'm not going to lie. I do a fishing channel and I try to show the entire purpose of the channel is to show everybody the experience, the thing that I'm experiencing that they don't always get to experience. Sadly, that doesn't mean that I don't do retakes from time to time. I do. If I'm catching a fish, and this is extremely rare, but if I'm catching a fish, say I catch something that I wasn't expecting to catch, and it seems to be like, you know, it's that catch that is that makes or breaks the video. But say I didn't hit record fast enough. You know, it's the same kind of thing. That doesn't mean I'm going to do a second take on catching that fish, but I am going to preemptively record enough footage to where I have footage of me catching something. And you know, if you get hung up on a rock, that's B-roll. Now, I'm not saying that you need to focus your video content on that sort of thing, but you need to hold on to that kind of footage, because 2 seconds of B-roll of you being hung up on a rock is extremely valuable when you actually hook into a 45-inch drum or redfish and you don't have the footage of you
right
hooking into it initially. You know what I mean? So right. Have that.
Yeah, and I want to hit on what James is talking about out there for sure, moving on. Patriot says that I've been practicing doing origami. I think I'm going to start trying to incorporate it. What do you think? Again, I go back to what Ghost always talks about and lots of other people that are true YouTube gurus is experiment, definitely, and switch things up and try new things. If it works for you, if it works, if it don't, you're going to be able to tell. I think it's 45 ACP pointed out after a few weeks or something like that. You're like, well, that video didn't really work out. And then kind of go from there. Ghost wanted to follow up, though. Go ahead, Ghost, follow up real quick, and then we'll move on with James's topic here.
Yeah, and I'm not going to disagree with what Stanley was talking about with the ums. The only problem that I see in that is, and you'll usually get better as you do this more, but if you're putting a lot of ums in there, it's going to chop up that video and not look natural. You can almost over edit a video sometimes, and having a couple ums and likes in there, or like, oh my gosh, you know, whatever, having some ums in there is okay. If you're going to cut every single one of them out, that is going to mess up the flow of that video. It's going to look choppy. I don't, you know, using transition is great, but if you have a transition every 4 words, cause you're cutting out an, then that's almost overboard, so overkill. So I would say, yeah, some of them, sure. But it's okay to have ums. It's okay for people to know that you're human and that you may not be comfortable. For some people, that's endearing to know that you're not exactly comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah. I got to say, that he is exactly right about that. This is YouTube. It's not Netflix. It's not ABC or CBS. He is absolutely right. You need to cut some of that stuff out. You need to help your, you know, progression and stuff like that in your video, but he's absolutely right. You don't want to cut it out to the point where it's like not, you know,
where it's
not
where
natural.
It's Philip DeFranco style
dead on.
Cuts, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Oh, that guy drives me crazy. And he does it on purpose. He's not saying, I mean, he will be in the middle of a coherent, perfectly fine sentence and he'll put six jump cuts, you know, and you're like, holy crap. So, but again, you're right, Ghost, you're right, Sally, you're all right, because, well, as I said, we're all different. There are different ways of presenting. We have our audience is going to feed off and whatever, and let us know that I didn't like this or I didn't like that. To nail down on what James out there was talking about, and I'll read it again. But he says, yeah, I hope this isn't irrelevant. When you film, you might redo a part a couple times. How do you remember which take was the best scene? Do you think of editing in your mind while you film, or do you clean up later? So I pretty much know with my method. It's a good time to, I guess, talk about this as the video as a whole and going through and editing and the entire composition here. I literally think about the videos I'm going to create usually for days. I don't just, I'm going to make a video and jump out on the range and do something. So I lay down at bed tonight and I'm kind of playing through my head. Yeah, when I do the video on this, I need to do this. I need to do that. So I know when I screw up and I've got to start over. And as Stanley pointed out, I give myself a pause at that point because it's real easy to screw up and jump right into it, right? Screw up, pause for a few seconds, take a breath, and then do it. And then so when you're editing, it's real easy. I can detect it through the audio channel, right? I can see that, and it's real easy to pick out where those clips are at and even which one was the bad one, right? Because it'll be a shorter clip with a space of dead air after it. It's like, okay, that's where I screwed up. Get that out of the way. As far as transitions are great. So are transitions are great. As Ghost pointed out, overlays. I think it was, who was it out there? Fortress out there, I believe, brought up talking about lower thirds. Lower thirds doesn't cover the entire screen, so it's kind of hard to cover up. You can cover up some things with that, but you can have a third that pops out from the side. Maybe if there was something in the frame that you need to cover up, you can do all kinds of things in editing to cover up screw ups. And what's interesting is once you start doing that and watching other people's content, you could figure out a lot of times you could go, that was weird. Wonder why they did that. Wonder why they went to that picture or they made that little thing pop out from the top or the bottom or the side, or that little graphic come up on the screen. And it was like something got screwed up there. Now, Snob out there is a great point too. He says B-roll is a great way to cover up screw-ups. Yeah. And so to keep in theme with the middle of the content and something that I do, because I like it changing. So even when you'll notice, like, even the top five videos, things like that, I'm literally sitting in a chair out on the range or I'm standing out on the range. But I break everything down to, okay, here's my hook, here's my welcome, here's number five, number four, number three, number two, and I will shift in the frame. I'll never stand or sit in the same exact spot. Sometimes I do, but more often than not, I shift a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, the camera angle up or down a little bit. I shift it a little bit. That way, even if I transition, even if I throw in an infographic, a picture on the screen, something of that nature, when it comes back around, it's still not me sitting in the same place. I'm a little bit different. I'm moved. And you may think that's not a big deal. And a lot of people may not even see that you shifted an inch to the left or an inch to the right. they may not cognitively, I guess, pick up on that. But it's weird because it's almost a subconscious thing that their brain still processes that as a different scene. It's weird. So great way to cover up as everybody has talked about. Now I want to shift into, just to kind of hit on what James was talking about out there with everybody a little more. And Stanley, I'll start with you and come back around on this. But when he's talking about planning, you know, thinking about the editing before you shoot the video, that type of thing. So do you kind of plan everything beforehand? And as part of that planning, do you have bullet points? Do you have script? Do you have other things like that that you rely on?
That's a really hard one to answer. I can't answer that because it depends on so many different variables. I try to be as planned as is physically possible. I go fishing. I do fishing content. That's what we do. So I go on a fishing trip with a camera, and I typically piss a bunch of people off by putting a camera in their face when they invite me out on a fishing trip. Now, at the end of the day, I have to determine, what is this video about? What footage do I need in order to tie up the end of the storyline? And then what introduction do I need in order to begin this story that I didn't even know I was going to experience when I first started this trip? That's my kind of approach on this. And on top of that, I try to batch edit my stuff to where if I go fishing, I don't want to get one video out of it. You know, if my uncle has a Freeman and I go sometimes 100 miles offshore on a fishing trip, I do not want to go 100 miles offshore. I do not want to spend money on gas and taking somebody's spot on a fishing trip in order to get one video. I want to maximize on that. I want to get like 3 videos or 17 videos out of that footage. So in order to do that, I have to be on the fly. I've got to be quick about it to where say the things that need to be said in order for me to transition into multiple videos on that trip. And most of the time I fail miserably. Most of the times I sit there and talk about stuff and the people on that boat are like, what are you talking about? These are videos that never got made.
Right.
But I'll do that 6 or 8 times. And then, you know, we'll be fishing and we'll be offshore and we're catching a bunch of Dorado and we're just having a ball of time. We're trolling and there's a video. And then we stop trolling and we deep drop for swords. Well, that's a separate video in and of itself. But if we hook into a bunch of squid while we're deep dropping for swords, and that's a fail, but then we deep drop for swords and we catch a swordfish, well, that's a third video.
Right.
If I can physically pull that off, I mean, that would be rad. That would be really rad if that's how it worked out all the time. And it doesn't all the time. You have to be able to accommodate. You have to be able to, you got to be prepared. You have to know going into this, I'm going to film every single thing that I can film. I'm going to talk about things that probably are not going to come to fruition, but I'm going to talk about them anyway. And I'm going to spend the next month trying to figure out what the hell was going on that fishing trip in the editing bay. And how can I turn this into 3 videos? I'm going to spend the time doing that. And that's just how I do it. I mean, it's hard, but that is the way to go about getting, you know, like 3 videos out of one fishing trip, is you just got to film everything you can and suffer through in the editing bay as is necessary.
All right. Wow. You make me happy. I'm not doing a fishing channel. That's all I've got to say.
It gets rough sometimes, man. It gets rough.
Woo. That's tough. 45 ACP, as far as preparation for the video, thinking about editing ahead of time, those sorts of things.
I'm most of the time I'm thinking about editing ahead of time. I'll run it through my head hundreds of times. Sometimes, what do I want to say? How do I want to approach it? Like you said, I'll be sitting there in bed before I go to sleep. How am I going to do this video, or how's this part going to go, or what I'm going to say during this part? There'll be times where I may use some bullet points over on the side to keep me on track. I used to do some pretty long videos to begin with. I've cut those videos down and kind of segmented them. So now what used to be one video might be two, might be three. But, you know, I'm always going through it over my head and use some bullet points. I try to be as prepped as possible.
Ghost, what about you? Your process, the method to the madness?
It depends on the video. If it's going to be, I mean, obviously you're going to have bullet points and I have stuff that I want to, you know, get said. But if it's a product review, you can't do that. Now, I might well stage out what tests that I want to run.
Right.
But I don't shoot an intro at all first. The first thing I do when I get to the range is start going through the tests that I want to test. Mm-hmm. And I allow that to guide my intro and ending. Because I might have an idea of how that intro is going to go, but what if the testing goes completely different than I thought? Then, so I wait to shoot my intro and my ending kind of at the same time. But on review videos, I'll wait till all the testing's done before I make that intro, because there's no telling what I'm going to find in those test results. Mm-hmm. Now on a normal other video, yeah, I mean, no matter what, I want to have a guideline of what I want to accomplish. Maybe not the results of that, but I want to have a guideline of what I want to get done in that video. But I'll never use a script. I think that scripts, it works for some people. It does. Right. I would say the vast majority of people, it's one of those things where there's two things that drive me crazy. It's one is looking at a person reading a script. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest one. You won't catch me for more than 5 seconds in that video. If someone's in front of the camera with their head, like they're the deer in the headlights, and hello, I am here to talk about this. I'm out. You know, I want it to be natural. I want to talk like it's a conversation. I want to hear someone talk like it's a conversation, because ultimately that's what our videos are. It's a conversation between us and the viewer. And we're trying to give our opinion or our findings on something. But a script for me, that's just for me. Mm-hmm. I don't read well off script. Some people can. I just can't do it.
Well, and it could be a great starter and a great primer and a great learning tool, I think, for folks if they use a script, assuming that they do it right. Because you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, there's got to be a little bit of production value there. It's, you know, you can't be reading it, you know, your eyes chasing the, you know, the words, whatever it might be. And this goes back into what James brought up, what we talked about earlier with transitions, with screen overlays, with other things. So if you're out there and you're one of the people that you pretty much you have to read the script, you have to do this, try this on Precise. And I want your opinion on this as well, Ghost, since you kind of brought up the fact that you don't use a script. Write down your bullet points, and then I got to talk about this, right? Don't word for word the script, just that you got to talk about this. Now, if there's certain specifications, talk about ammunition and velocities and what type of ammunition and what type of firearm and the length of the barrel and all this other stuff, then you may have to put those in, right? But think in your mind. All you got to do, surely to God, you can look at a piece of paper and you can see, I need to talk about this rifle brand, so-and-so, so many inch barrel. Surely to God, you can look at the camera and rattle off two sentences, coherent sentences that are coming free form off of that one little bullet point. Surely to goodness, you can rattle that off. Stop point. At that point, you're going to put a transition in. You're going to put a picture on the screen. You're going to put a graphic. You've already thought about this. Maybe even map that out in your bullet points. Say, you know, talk about this overlay. Talk about this B-roll. Talk about this whatever, right? And all you have to do, you're not reading a script. You've got a lot more natural flow to everything. Plus, you're learning to talk on the fly as well. What's your thought?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the bullet points, you know, you're going to have an outline. I mean, everyone that does this should at least do an outline. Now, are there going to be sections, like you said, of every video that I do? There are going to be sections that it's going to have to be scripted, but it's like you said, it's the, dimensions. It's the, you know, the specifications of such product, whatever it is. And yeah, you can do that. But if your whole thing is scripted, this is just me, then it makes me wonder, do you really know what you're talking about? Or are you reading this from somewhere else that you got it on the internet? You know what I'm saying? It makes me question the validity of your knowledge of that product or whatever you're doing. If you are doing a thing on a hair dryer and you're basically reading from the manufacturer's website, well, I could have gone to the website and read the same thing. I don't need you to read that off. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, an outline is wonderful. At least kind of know what you're looking to say. And it might take you 2 or 3 takes. Like you said, do 2 sentences. If you fumble through that sentence, you know what? It's only 2 sentences. Reshoot those 2 sentences until you kind of get it the way you want it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have a problem, and I don't see it a lot in the gun side of things. I see it in a lot of stuff that I watch that are other products or other niches.
Right.
And it's like, if I wanted someone to read to me, then I'd get an audio book or I'd go to that website and I'd read it myself. I want your opinion. And even though it might be your words and your opinion, but it's scripted, it sounds unauthentic to me. Does that make sense?
No. Yeah, absolutely. That Patriot out there, he says he runs through everything in his head over and over for a couple of days, about 30% of it gets lost. And I understand. I've been the same way. Think about a certain video. There's the flow I wanted. I need to get these shots or these angles and do this. And then, about 30% of it, once the product's said and done, I've totally forgotten what I had thought about originally. It happens, and that's where taking notes and stuff like that, putting those bullet points down, sometimes come into play. Rogue, coming to you on this one. We're about ready to tie this up, but coming to you on this one, and the method of your madness, the flow when you're filming, you're thinking about editing, scripts, bullet points, all of that stuff.
So I originally started with scripts. I got rid of them. It just wasn't natural. And I was using them as a crutch. And quite frankly, it created my, it added time to my project, because I would spend so much time getting like the perfect script. And
right.
And then I that's all time that was taken away from editing and stuff like that. So I got rid of them. I do bullet points. I'm an insomniac anyway. I'll go to bed, get about four hours of sleep. I'll wake up, and then it sounds geeky, but I will start like obsessing about my next video. I want to do this. I want to do this. This would be really cool. And I actually get most of my work done on the channel between 2 and 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I start working through things and planning things out. I try to plan out my range visits to do multiple videos in one session. Mm-hmm. That way, I can get the most out of my range time. I know it totally drives my wife nuts, because she just wants to shoot and I'm sitting there, I got to do this angle and stuff like that. It drives her nuts, but at least I can get my work done. And if I can get 2 or 3 videos filmed in one session, I might be able to enjoy the next one a little more and make the next rain session more about enjoyment than work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I work on things. I don't think about editing until it's time for editing. I take all my range footage, I upload it to the computer and throw it into my editor and just start making it work.
Wow. Now,
can I address the elephant in the room real quick?
I don't appreciate you talking bad about 45 HP like that, but
the other elephant in the room.
Yeah.
The bigger elephant in the room. Either I don't care nearly as much as some of you guys, or I think y'all might be losing your minds. Do y'all really think about videos when y'all go to bed? I have never done that. And maybe I don't care enough. Maybe that's my problem. I don't care enough. But I hear everyone talking about it. I think about it in bed. I'm like, holy cow.
I'll be honest with you. Before I had a channel, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking about work.
Yeah.
The channel actually gives me a release from thinking about my day job.
I'm just messing with you. No, I know what you're saying. I do. I will sit there and think, oh, that would be a, I'll be sitting there and I'll be thinking, oh, that'll be a cool video about something that I never would have thought about doing or something. But yeah, I'm just messing around. I heard people say, I think about this in bed. I'm like, holy cow, I don't do that. Maybe I'm doing something wrong.
You know what really keeps me up at night is that I know that you're doing videos saying, take that, Jason.
Right.
Right.
If I don't sit there and run it through my head several times, it'll take me several takes. Now I can get it down to maybe two or three.
Well, see, here's the problem with me is I hit the pillow, and I even ask my wife, there are times when my head will hit the pillow, and like 15 seconds later, I'm already asleep. Yeah. So she says snoring. I don't believe I snore, but you know, whatever. I'm just kidding. I know I snore, guys.
I'm not
smart enough to think of video stuff in the first 15 seconds. So maybe it's just me. I'm just not very smart.
No, my problem is I can fall asleep instantly. It's just staying asleep is my problem.
Patriot out there, he says, kind of like 45 ACB, says he likes going through short bits over and over. Makes it work out better ways of saying things too. But I don't have bullet points on a dry erase board. Well, obviously, Patriot. That's one of the things with the script. That's where a script can get dangerous, even if you memorize that script. It's because you memorize that script and the way that you write is always going to be different. Well, I don't say always, because some people it may not be that way, but very likely anyway. The way that you write is going to be different than the way that you talk. And so that's where scripts, even if you're really good at memorizing those scripts, become problematic, and where the whole bullet point idea, you know, the little, I didn't pass English good. Okay. But the prepositions, and the verbs, I'm being realistic, but you've got your main words in anything you're talking about, right? You've got these main words that you need to say, and then the tenses that you use and the verbs and the prepositions. And you got all this. If you remember back in the days of English, right? There's all this other, these other pieces to sentence structure. There's pause, there's emphasis, there's all of this other things, and writing that, those things don't come into play, but when you're talking it, when you're saying it, that comes into play. And so certain words work better than other words. And if you write that out, it can be a bit weird. So I want to start wrapping this one up. I'm going to sweep some floors, mop some floors, pick up some chairs. And we're going to run this one through the Rube. One last time here. We're just going to get final thoughts on this whole idea of audience retention, watch time, everything that we've talked about. If you want to summarize, you got any final points to make? And then I want you to give some, you know, plugs for your channels or whatever else you need to do. Just want to remind everybody out there, the live chat, whatever, everybody on the panel, check them out. Obviously, if you're on the YouTube side, you can see the chat. A lot of the folks out here in the side chat that jump in from the Gun Snob, because of Gary, the Patriot and Dark, Midnight Range TM, and more, all are putting out content and doing things. 45 ACP, going to start out with you. Final thoughts, and then any plugs or things you need to nail down real quick.
Well, I think there's a lot of good information here. We all work different. We all, you know, process things a little different. A lot of times I'll use bullet points simply to keep me on track, because otherwise I'll start talking so fast that I'll start talking about stuff further down the video and then having to try to backtrack. So it keeps me from having to do a lot of double takes. I've got a Polish Mauser video coming up this week. We shoot the Darkbore Mauser that we took the bore scope to, and it was just absolutely horrid. Go out and see how that shoots. And then I got a Smith & Wesson 1006 that the range officer here, when I was down there last, said, hey, I got this gun, try it out. So I did a quick review, guerrilla style review on that one that I'm real excited about. That'll awesome. Come out in about a week and a half.
Good stuff. Rogue, you're up.
Sorry, you caught me typing something in the chat. No, it's, you know, I agree with 45. We all think a different way. I actually, what you were talking about, scripts that we write differently than we speak. I actually just had this conversation about a week ago with my boss, because he did his first voiceover for, you know, my day job. And he sent it to me, you know, knowing I do YouTube videos and stuff like that. And I just cringed. Like, what mic are you using? You were reading a script, weren't you? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, okay, do this. And it's amazing how the YouTube stuff can go into other parts of your life. And then I spoke too much, and then I had to do a voiceover for another video for him. But no, I mean, I'll tell you that doing the YouTube thing, I've been doing it for 3 years now. Actually, I think tomorrow's 3 years to the day when I had my channel created. So it's fun. I think everybody that wants to do this stuff, they definitely do it. It's fun. For me, on my channel, I'm on a bunch of platforms, on YouTube, Full 30, Gunstreamer, and a bunch of other stuff, Instagram. Just look for the Rogue Banshee, and you'll find me. I have content coming out, I think, next Friday. It's on the first and third Fridays of the month is when I release content. So check for a new video coming out on next Friday. But thanks for having me on.
The stuff, you bet. Stanley, you're up, man. Final thoughts, plugs, do what you got to do.
I don't got much to plug. I mean, I am what I am. Amazingly decent fishing content, if that is what you were looking for. That having been said, I think this is, if you were looking to grow a YouTube channel, if you're looking to do a YouTube channel and you're looking to do it successfully, as a means of income, as a means of, you know, more than just like a fun thing to show your family members, I think that is a very valuable thing to do. I think there's a lot of value in that. I highly suggest doing it. It doesn't mean that you're going to make $100,000 a year, but yeah, there is a possibility of viable side income there. And I suggest doing it. Now, you do need to do it right. And if you're going to do it right, watch time, in my opinion, is the number one key metric that you need to be focused on. Everything else is a close second, you know, CTR, close second. And I can't argue the value of CTR, but bar none, I don't think anybody can argue against watch time and probably average view duration as being the number one and number one B metrics that you need to focus on, period, bar none. You get that, and you are going to get the views that you want, and you're going to get the side income that you want. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thanks for jumping in, Stan. Ghost, bring it home.
You know, for someone that's out there that's thinking about starting a YouTube channel, or you already have a YouTube channel and you're not growing as fast as you want, there's a lot of information that's given out tonight that's going to be helpful. Ultimately, though, understand who we are and what we are. We're entertainers. Okay. Yes, we're there to give out information that will help people with whatever they're looking for. But ultimately, you need to entertain people. People have cut off their satellite TVs. They've cut off their cable. They're spending more time on YouTube because that's what they enjoy. If you're having problems growing, I hate to say it, but look in the mirror and say, am I entertaining these people? Am I giving them a reason to stay on my video, to get the watch time, to get the click-through rate, to get the average view duration? If you're boring, I'm sorry, but people aren't going to watch. They've got 20,000 other choices to watch of the same subject matter. So I would say, try to be entertaining. Be yourself. Don't overdo it. One of my favorite channels ever to watch is because it is him. And Clover and I know him personally, but Justin Ellerman is one of the most entertaining people I've ever seen on any niche in YouTube, because the dude is just happy all the time, but he's not faking it. It's just how he is. Mm-hmm. And I can watch him talk about frogs jumping into a pond and I'd probably be entertained. So entertain people. Most importantly, get out to the range, shoot, be more proficient with your firearms, take someone out there. More importantly, turn your cameras on. We need as many cameras out there doing pro gun, pro 2A content as we can get. And the most important thing, especially right now, this week, I say go vote. It is your single most important duty as an American citizen is to vote. Voting is your voice. So get out there and vote. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And I'll follow up that up by echoing that. Definitely go vote. Regardless of what you think on a federal level or even a state level, go vote. Leave those blank for all I care. But for the love of God, vote local. Vote your county and city and school boards and other things for sure, because that's the level of government closest to you, the level of government's going to affect you the most in the end, so forth and so on. So definitely go out there and let your voice be heard. Want to follow up what Ghost said, too, about turning on a camera. You know, a couple of things to keep in mind if you're out there. Maybe you have turned the camera on. Maybe you're thinking about turning the camera on. You're thinking about doing content. And I see this all the time in other creator forums and stuff like that, that people go, I'm thinking about starting a YouTube channel. What niche should I do stuff in? And I'm like, why do you even have to ask that question? If you're not proficient in something or can provide some kind of insight, education, authoritative content, value, whatever in something, you know, that's probably not what you need to create content in. So pick something that you're good at, something that interests you, something that, and you don't have to be necessarily an authoritative figure or, you know, highly educated on the subject, because your channel could be about learning this and growing along with it. So maybe like Stanley, you don't fish, but you want to start a fishing channel on, hey, I'm just now starting to fish. And so, well, I found out this rod and reel is a piece of crap, or this lure is hard to work, or, you know, whatever. So you've got that journey, right? But as Ghost said, make it interesting, be authentic, and make sure that you enjoy that, right? It's something that you do want to go learn. You're not just trying to do it for ratings or views or whatever, because it at some point, even if you do love it, it does kind of become a job. And so the more enjoyment you can get out of it, the better you're going to be, I think, long term, or the healthier for sure you're going to be long term. So that's my advice on that. As far as the channel, Halloween special every year, be looking for that. I'm thinking 9:10 Eastern time. I haven't got anything up, but there will definitely be a premiere. We can't do it live because YouTube says no to handling firearms online, and we've got to do some pops on Halloween. That's just the way it is. But we'll have the reading of Edgar Allan Poe's Telltale Heart. We'll have some pops and all of that good stuff going on in a premiere Halloween night. So definitely be looking for that. Join us for Halloween 2020 for a few minutes, maybe a half hour. Not real sure how long it's going to be because I haven't got it all edited. I've got it all filmed. Haven't all got it all edited down yet, so I don't know for sure, but maybe that half hour point or so. Join us for that. Hang out. Other content obviously dropping along the way. I've got the Rock Island Armory shotgun, the All Generations Series 12 gauge. If you hadn't checked that out, that is brand new, hot off the press in gun stores now. There's people out there that I'm getting comments on that are buying those. Heck, it may be at this point one of the only firearms left on the shelf out there, but yeah, I've been sure to tell those folks in the comments. Definitely give me some feedback on what you think. So if you're out there and you do pick up one of those Rock Islands, jump over to that video, jump down in the comments, share your experience, because that's what it's all about. And then waiting on one also from Rock Island, the 9-shot 22 long rifle revolver should be in. Hopefully in the next week or so, you'll see a first impressions video on that. And I've really got to get off my butt and get some stuff written for gear-report.com. But I've got some stuff up there. Ghost does as well. Our buddy Budget out there in the chat got some stuff over there. So if you like the written form of content, some people like that kind of thing, go check out that. That's it for us tonight. Hopefully you learned something. Remember that no matter where you're watching, listening, whatever, there's comments below. If you've got questions, whatever, hit us all up in those comments for sure. Till next week, stay nerdy.